excited about the guys we added today. I'll say that we spent more than 5 to 10, 15 minutes with each one of these guys. They either came in and visited here, or we went to their schools and spent a day or half a day with those guys, worked them out, got with them in the film room, you know, really got to know them and interview them, if you will, as fits for the football team, and excited about the competition level that they'll add to our roster.
Is the process of, I guess, just continuing to move back and stockpile picks in the last two rounds? Can you talk about how that process kind of unfolded for you?
Yeah, I mean, we had some guys that we liked there, and, you know, they kind of came off the we're kind of coming off the board, and we thought there were some guys that we would be able to get that, you know, we maybe could slide back and pick up in the seventh round. So just being able to keep sliding back and take those guys that we kind of had targeted and ended up getting all of the guys that we ended up taking were guys that we had targeted there in the seventh. So
can you give a quick thumbnail on each?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you know, Jayon's one that, you know, that I've kind of liked. I went and saw him the UCLA Colorado game out in Boulder prior to when we played out on the West Coast. Athletic linebacker, good movement skills. We worked him out privately. Smart football player. Will factor in the kicking game. You know, ran well for us. I think he was in the mid 4.5s, low 4.6s. Should play in the kicking game as well. So excited to add him. Corey Levin played down the road in Chattanooga. We went and worked him out privately. We'll play guard. We'll work him at center. Did a nice job snapping in the workout. And another, you know, tough, competitive lineman that'll compete there. Josh Caraway, you know, played primarily defensive end for TCU. I think he was all conference a couple years, had a couple years with pretty good sack total. You know, he'll work at outside linebacker for us. He was another one that we went and worked out in a private setting. Big Brad Seaton, you know, played at Villanova there. Very, very, very large man. Really worked out well at his pro day. He was here on a 30 visit, spent the day with us. Tough, competitive guy. He's a big guy with a long reach. He'll work at both tackle spots, probably kick him in at guard, see how he holds up in there as well, just kind of see if he can carve out a role for himself. And then, you know, Kalfani Muhammad was a back that we worked out as well. Went out there and saw him. Really fast running back. Plays on kickoff cover for Cal. Also has handled kickoff returns there at Cal. Don't let his size fool you. He doesn't shy away from hitting it up in there and trying to move it. But more of a change of pace, speed type back who really, really caught the ball well out of the backfield for us when we worked him out. So, like I said, excited about all those guys, adding them to the mix. Is that what you're looking for, Jim?
That's perfect. Yeah.
Thanks.
You, some years, I know you want to get as many good players you can get. Potentially get seventh-round picks to –
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that these guys were fielding calls. They're in the seventh round, maybe, from other teams. But we just kind of had them earmarked and had them on our board and tilted. And when it got to be our time on the clock, we had them ranked and just kind of picked away.
Is there any potential with those late deals when you're bundling seventh rounders to turn something into a 2018 pick, or is that not something?
Yeah, I think there were a couple of those that maybe came across today. I generally don't like, you know, mortgaging some of the future stuff. Sometimes you have to, like we did with Jack last year. We had to give up the two this year. But if we can just kind of stay in the current year, I would prefer to do that.
I think getting something next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a chance of that. Yeah, there's a chance of that. I mean, we kicked that around with a couple clubs, and they weren't really open to it.
You took it all the way back, all of them?
Just today's
particular. I think, again, very competitive guys. We're going to come in here and compete for primarily the position we drafted them for, and then if they have value as special teams players, that's that much added. And some of them may make it because of just special teams. But I would, you know, we drafted them to come in here and play for us and compete for a job, and they play better, they play the style we want them to play, then they will play a significant amount. But
how much tougher might you anticipate, you know, just given what you have in front of you now, getting to 53 as compared to last year, where maybe it wasn't that difficult to get to?
Yeah, it'll be. I think it'll be very. It'll be different. I hope it's hard every year. That's you're accomplishing what you set out to do. Make it a very competitive roster, and you know, I think we've done that again this year with these picks. And again, we've got some free agents, rookie free agents that we're signing that will also come in here and compete. Again, this, we're not trying to fill numbers in a roster. We're trying to bring people in here that can compete and earn a job.
How do you think, Mike, I guess, Seton, standing next to Kelly, I'm posing, is that going to be walking out of the huddle? And what kind of challenges does he have being a 6'8 guy, just like any big guy faces as far as technique, pad level?
That's some things that he'll have to work on. We know, you know, some of his deficiencies. You know, that size does, you know, it's, we want to see if he can play guard. We're going to move him in there and give him an opportunity to compete in there as well. We know what he can do at tackle. But again, I'd like to get a chance to get Russ and Mike Sullivan some time to work with him and see if we can clean up some of the things he needs to get cleaned up.
Trade it up for Jayon. Why did you feel like that was necessary to do at that point, and what role do you envision him having?
And I mean, we kind of anticipated that there was a linebacker, you know, run that was going to go. He was one of the guys that was still, you know, rated fairly highly for us. And, you know, we didn't want to risk the opportunity of losing him. So when you kind of get that gut feeling or instinct, you got to get yourself in position to take the guy. And then as far as, you know, role goes, I think, you know, I commented earlier about him probably playing mostly in sub defense, if he, whatever he carves out on base and in the kicking game, you know, that'll be up to him. So,
John, you kind of carved out before your year one and year two expectations. You talked a lot about last year's draft class. For this year, can you just kind of refresh us on that, your expectations generally speaking for a rookie class, for a second year class?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, what we left with last year's class was, you know, when they first got here, we told them that we wanted them to come in here and compete and to get close as a group. And, you know, that it'll be the same thing for this year's class. All of these guys that we have spent time with individually throughout the course of the spring, we talked about us being a competitive football team, about their opportunity here will be what they make of it. You know, it doesn't matter where you're drafted or where you're picked. You know, we want guys that are going to come in here and buy into philosophically what we want to be about as a football team, and are going to play our style of football and do things the right way. So, you know, we're looking forward to this group of guys coming in here and working.
Ultimately expect a lot of them, just like you expected from last year's class. You talked about them really kind of blossoming in second year after they get their feet wet. A lot of these guys have to find a way to make it through first year to really get opportunity.
Yeah, no question. I mean, these guys, you know, I think all of these guys are competitive guys. I think they'll come in here and mix into our roster and try to, you know, fight, scrap, and claw to stick on the 53-man roster. And then, you know, if they do, hopefully that next year they'll be even better. If we can continue to add those type of guys with that type of grit, if you will, that want to come to work every day and continue to fight for your job, we're a pretty good football team.
You satisfied with your cornerback depth with only taking one guy in
the door? Yeah, I mean, I think we have some pretty good. I mean, we addressed some of those guys in free agency, and we got some productive plays out of those guys. You know, last year in LaShawn Sims, Bryce McCain, and I mean, even DJ Smith. I mean, we kind of got him late in the mix there. He was a former high round pick. He did a nice job for us there on the P squad. So, you know, we'll continue to evaluate, you know, that position group, and if there's a guy that becomes available at some point, we'll certainly look at it.
How much room do you have for undrafted and looking for certain positions there that you feel like you're maybe still a little bit wide?
Yeah, I mean, Coach and I go through the roster and look at our camp needs, and you know what position groups we're going to need to get to 90, you know, so that we can get through training camp and have a productive camp. So, you know, we're working through that now, trying to wrap some of that stuff up.
Your 14-15 range, or is it half a dozen guys inside, or is it still to be determined?
Yeah, still to be determined. And I would say we'll have some guys in here on a tryout basis in the rookie camp. You know, like we did last year, and if some of those guys come in here and earn a spot, and they're better than maybe some guy we signed, then we'll change it out.
And Mike, what's the plan for the rookies as far as getting in here for camp, and what's next for this group?
They cannot come in until the rookie camp, which is two weekends from now. The first reporting date is, I think, the 15th, Monday the 15th. Which is a week later than last year. The rookie development program starts then. So we can't have them. Last year we could have them in the week of the mini camp. They could kind of get a little bit of a head start with the coaches. This will be like a true mini camp where they've got to come in here and learn the system just like everybody. I mean, everybody's going to be on an even playing surface as far as the tryout guys and our rookies.
Is that Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And then the 15th as well.
The Monday is when the rookies can stay here and start phase two with it.
Is that the Monday after that?
Yes. Yeah. So there's there'll be a week of phase two left for them to come in here and work with the veterans before we get into the OTAs.
What's the feeling, I guess, for most of you when you get a new crop of guys in, and what should the feeling be like as players welcome new teammates?
It's exciting. I mean, I know that when they're all in here that first day, there's a lot of wide eyes. It's sure they're a nervous wreck. We try to get them at ease as quickly as we can. Try to get them to be around the veterans and have the veterans welcome them in as quickly as they can. I think the more comfortable they are, the faster you'll see production from them. But it's been an exciting time anytime that first class of rookies come in here and come through those front doors.
What type of role do last year's rookies play?
I think it's important that they socialize and pull these guys with them and give them a little bit of advice of what to expect, especially early on. Again, like I said, our guys last year, our rookies had an advantage of being here for a week with the veterans before they went through a rookie minicamp. This group will not have that, but it would be great if they could, again, pull them aside and give them a little advice. It wouldn't hurt at all.
John, did you remind us what the Skype rule was? Did you take advantage of those, the ability to have those kind of conversations?
Yeah. So you could FaceTime or Skype or whatever other social media, whatever conduit you can use to talk to somebody via a device. We did not take. You're supposed to log it, or we were going to log it and submit it to the league. That way, we were under all the rules and protocols. We didn't take advantage of that because we really put a lot of boots on the ground, if you will, and went to these players' campuses and spent time with them that way, or brought them in here.
Well, how many additional guys were you allowed to talk to that method you chose?
Unlimited. Yeah, unlimited.
John, and for Mike Vogt, it's been a long process. You know, that didn't just start when the season ended. It's been going through the fall. Not relief that it's over, but can you catch your breath a little bit and sense of satisfaction in the group that you're able to haul in?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for the personnel department, it really goes back to even before, you know, probably last April, and March and April of 2016. You know, those guys start to prep the initial, you know, scouting list and who are the prospects going to be. They do some spring scouting and start the process on those players. Just excited about the guys we were able to add. It's another year in the process here, and just excited about the direction of our football team from a player standpoint, and then from, you know, a coaching and personnel standpoint. Another round of us working together. To identify prospects that fit our football team and our philosophy.
As you went through the process this weekend of getting players, was there anybody among the guys you got that you kind of looked at each other and said, I can't believe this guy?
guy is still on the board, you just felt like you had to, you couldn't pass him up? Go ahead, name some.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it was just like, wow. You know, I say wow when we got them. But again, these are guys that we had targeted throughout the spring process, and we just tried to position ourselves, whether it was via trades or just being patient and letting, you know, kind of let the draft come to you. And those are really the only two ways you can get the guys, and that's kind of where we attacked it this weekend.
Could there be too many? I don't want to say small schools. I know a lot of them are big. Too many. Non-Big Five. When you have this list of people, you've got Western Michigan, Western Kentucky, Florida International, Chattanooga, Villanova. Would you want an entire draft class of that? Would you not care, or do you need some guys who are?
I tell all these guys when I talk to them, whether they're playing for, you know, some big school or some small school, we don't care where you came from. If you can play football, if you'll buy in to our philosophy and our style of football, you can play for the Tennessee Titans. If you can be a productive player in this locker room and on the field. Doesn't matter where you came from.
You went from pick 18 to 72 without a pick, and then you had three picks within about 14 or 15. What was that story like in the seventh round?
We were going back through our board, looking at the players that we were there, you know, talking through scenarios. If this guy, you know, happens to go here, you know, where are we going to go next? And you're trying to position yourself and strategize and be ready. If this guy gets taken, then all right, who's our next guy?